I'm Jim Pollard. Good morning. I'm your pastor here for a while. It's nice to see you this morning on this almost spring morning, but it is March, and there will be a St. Patrick's Day blizzard. That's why my snowblower is still gassed up, and my ice melter bags are still in the garage. Today, we're with Jesus in the wilderness. Listen to this from the Gospel according to Matthew. When Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil, he fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and afterwards he was famished. The tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But he answered, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him up to the holy city and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up so that you will not dash your foot against a stone." Comment. Notice how the devil could quote scripture. Jesus said to him, "Again it is written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." Again the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. And he said to him, "All these I will give you if you will fall down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him." Then the devil left him, and suddenly angels came and waited on him. May these words be the word of God to us on this day. Let us pray. Now open us, O God, to the leading of your Spirit. Plant faith deep within us and nourish it by your presence and your love, that our lives might bear fruit as Jesus' disciples. Amen. The high moment had occurred. The voice from heaven echoed, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." I suppose history could have stopped right there. This is God's Son. Hooray! He's here! Come on, Jesus, let's have a revival. The world's been waiting for you. You're our hero. Not so fast. The same Spirit that had descended on him from above at his baptism led him from the banks of the Jordan into the barrenness of the Judean wilderness, a dry and rocky desert of precipitous hills and almost no vegetation. A bad land, if there ever was one, where he fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. And at the end of that exhausting time, the tempter came to him. "Wait a minute. This is God's Son. Where are the angels? Where are the trumpets? Where is the glory of God? Is this any way to welcome God's Son?" What is it about the wilderness in the history of Israel? And what is it about the period of 40 days and 40 nights? Noah and his family endured 40 days and nights on the ark. Moses fasted on Mount Sinai for 40 days and 40 nights. Elijah, having fled Mount Carmel, hid in a cave in the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights. And the people of Israel wandered for 40 years in the wilderness of Sinai. What is it about the wilderness? All of that waiting, wondering, and struggling, and seeking, and being found as they are shaped by God for what is to come next. The wilderness is not a place of abandonment. The wilderness is a place of preparation for the mission that God has for them. It is a place and time where they learn to trust in God as God leads them into their future as the people of God and prepares them for the choices and challenges they will face. And even God's beloved Son needs to make preparation to face the temptations of the real world in which he will live. And what real temptations they are for Jesus, and I suggest for us. The first temptation: give up his identity as a child of God, even as the Son of God. In his baptism, God had declared, "This is my Son in whom I am well pleased." The tempter asks him to give up that identity. A second temptation: Jesus, use your power to demonstrate your supernatural nature, to enhance your reputation, to call attention to yourself, to demonstrate to the world, I am the greatest. Here, Jesus, test God. Jump from the tower. God will save you and you'll be our superhero. It's even in the scriptures that the angels will protect you. Amaze us. You won't have to sacrifice or give up anything. That will get their attention, and your fame will be universally guaranteed. Seek fame for the sake of fame. And in giving allegiance to the entrenched power of evil, you will be the ruler of the world. Make power politics your game. Divide and conquer. Appeal to hatred and envy. Ignore bringing people together. Forget seeking reconciliation and breaking down barriers. There's always a temptation, I think, when we hear or read the temptation narrative to say, oh, that's Jesus. Of course he resisted temptation. He's the Son of God. He wouldn't have done anything else. I don't think that's the case. These temptations were real for him. Jesus is not play-acting a pre-written script. He made real choices for his life and ministry during his wilderness ordeal. He knew what it was like to make hard choices about his life and his ministry. That's what being incarnate, embodied, means. He knows what it is to be tempted by all that is opposed to God and all that would lead us away from God. In his responses to the tempter, he quotes from the book of the law, Deuteronomy, where his own faith is anchored. Not by bread alone will the human live, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. You shall not test the Lord your God. The Lord your God is the only one you are to worship, and to him alone will you serve. In fact, Jesus will face these temptations, these same temptations, during his ministry. Remember that after his healings, he told his disciples to keep quiet about it. Some of his followers expected him to declare a rebellion against Rome and declare his kingdom. When he was asked by Pilate, "Are you the king of the Jews?" he replied, "My kingdom is not of this world." And in Gethsemane, as he faced arrest and the cross, he prayed to God, "If it be your will, remove this cup from me." But then again affirmed, "Not my will, but yours be done." What happens to Moses and Elijah and the people of Israel and to Jesus in the wilderness does not stay in the wilderness. It goes with them into their life and ministry and provides the spiritual resources needed to fulfill God's mission through them. In our baptism, we are welcomed as a son or a daughter of God. What does that mean when we are in a conflict of ethics in business, or as we prepare our income tax, as we try to relate to the disagreeable next door neighbor, as we voice our opinions in political and world affairs, as we read our property reassessment, as we address a serious conflict in the community or at school or at work or at home? What does that mean as we relate to someone of a different religious tradition or conviction? How does our fundamental understanding of ourselves as a son or a daughter of God become manifest in our words and actions? When are we tempted to deny that identity? And when the temptation comes, as it surely does, do we hear the voice of the Spirit saying, "Remember who and whose you are"? My prayer this morning is that may what happens in the wilderness of temptation that you experience go with you into the world and be your strength in every time of temptation.